Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. Today for our weekly Monday show, I'm Adam Friedman, and joining me on the other line is recovering from his sister's wedding, probably still hungover at the 5 o'clock hour on Sunday, is Tony East. How are you feeling, Tony?
I have no comment on how I'm feeling, Adam.
If you can kind of hear in his voice, he still sounds good, but he sounds a little bit like he could use some more sleep.
Ah, man, I could really use like a Tylenol PM or something.
So I'm guessing it was an open bar, right?
It was, in fact, an open bar, and it was, more importantly, a very fun wedding.
Yeah. So, where was it at? Just Indianapolis people.
Yeah, it was at Cox Hall Gardens in Carmel. It was really cool. It was apparently the last sunny day of like literally the entire year because it's been raining all day. So it was perfect. It was great.
That's awesome. I can't wait for my son to get married so I can go to an open bar. I'm 21. I'm only 21.
Locked On Pacers shout out to Lauren East, who does not like basketball at all, but is my now married sister.
Yeah, I bet she clicks on the podcast for just to see what you're saying.
Her now husband does listen. So right. Patrick, what's up?
Shout out to him.
Let's talk about basketball now.
Yeah, let's move on. So let's start with Glenn Robinson. So I think it was Thursday evening. Glenn Robinson announced, or Adrian Wojnarowski announced, that Glenn Robinson underwent ankle surgery, which basically pushed his timeline from 2 months from when he got hurt to now, I think 3 to 4 months is the most recent projection. You know, it's sad news, obviously. At first, we thought the injury was this serious, and we thought it wasn't, and now it is. Tony, just what are your opening thoughts on that?
It's weird. Well, okay, so when I had Whitney on, it was right after they announced. It was literally like 5 minutes after they announced that he would be having surgery and it'd be mid-December. And she said on the show, "I'm not a doctor, but usually surgeries take longer than 2 months to recover from." And then the next day it came out that it was 3 to 4 months. And it was like, okay, this is kind of like the next obvious step after you learn he's having surgery. But it just keeps getting worse. It's just an awful situation. Bojan is now officially the most important signing of the summer, because if he can't step up, that wing is going to be rough.
Yeah. With injuries, like as a Indianapolis sportsman, I'm sure we can all relate to the Andrew Luck stuff, how we thought he'd be back in 6 months and it was 7, then it's 8 and he's still not back. So I don't trust any time a team doctor says, well, 3 months, like they're uncertain. Yeah. When you have ankle surgery, I imagine it's going to be, he's probably going to miss two thirds of the season. So that's going to be rough for them. And like you said, Bojan needs to step up, because he didn't look great in preseason. He didn't look terrible. I don't like to take a lot out of preseason, but he's going to have to play 30 to 35 minutes a game now. And I imagine Stevenson's going to now be the backup small forward instead of backup shooting guard.
Yeah, definitely. That was something I noticed in the first game, was the first sub was Lance for Bojan. And Bojan has really struggled from three in the preseason, and that's literally the exact thing they signed him to do. So he can't be knocking those down. The three is going to be a huge weak spot for this team.
Yeah, so we'll get onto the roster cuts a little bit later, but do you see them going after now, maybe flipping? So they're deep in power forward right now, theoretically. If they want to go young, they could flip Thad Young. Do you see them flipping maybe Thad Young for a small forward backup, or even one of their late picks, or taking on a contract, something to improve the depth of small forward with like not a bottom of the roster guy even?
Yeah, I don't really know, because, you know, I think obviously the 15th guy has to be a wing, because right now it's like the only competent guys are just like Lance, Oladipo, and Bojan. And Wilkins has been better than I thought, but I still won't pencil him in as a competent NBA player. So they're going to need a fourth guy there. And hilariously, somehow Monte Ellis would be helpful. How did this offseason come full circle so fast? But maybe they'll trade Thad. Maybe they'll just sign someone. I don't really know what. I haven't really even gotten an inkling of what they'll do, just because the news that they waived Utah was so was so recent. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they fill those minutes, especially given that it's so late in the offseason.
Yeah, I think they could go after a shooting guard sometimes just because they could move Lance to small forward. They go after like a guard, but I mean, I don't know if getting that bottom of the roster guy doesn't mean for their depth. They need like a legitimate guy that can play 15 minutes a game. I'm not sure. I mean, unless they're playing to play Wilkins, that kind of minutes. I guess they go after a point guard theoretically and then move Joseph to the two, but they've got to get some other player that can fill the 15-minute, the 20-minute gap that at least Robinson's going to play. I mean, obviously, Boehm will take up, maybe instead of playing 25 to 30, he'll play 30 to 35, but they got to find some of the other 15 minutes.
Yeah, and it's funny because me and you both have kind of all offseason been like, I don't know if it's going to be the timeline of they're trying to win games this year or they're trying to develop players this year. Well, interestingly now, this roster spot that has created itself is going to be a really telling way to know because, you know, if they sign a rotation guy who you think is immediately going to plug and play like a, you know, people will talk about in a minute, then you'll know that they're trying to probably at least go for some wins. But if they sign someone, you know, young who got cut, who just looks promising, then maybe they're going for player development.
So actually this kind of ties in that. Do you remember what Zach Lowe's in his most recent article, he wrote 30 crazy predictions, what his Deion Waiters trade was?
Deion Waiters and I forget which young guy. I think it was Josh Richards. Winslow, yeah. Deion Waiters and Winslow for Corey Joseph, right? And I forget someone else, but
would it be like Thad Young? Would that be the move?
There were two Pacers trades, which is why I'm blanking on it in that article.
I'm trying to look it up because I honestly kind of forgot about it. But I'm thinking that there's a move there where, right, if they were able to, they could flip Thad Young for a similar contract, but in a shooting guard spot just to bring a backup depth. Because they theoretically have enough depth if they can trust Sabonis or Reeves to be in the starting power forward spot. They have enough depth at the power forward position. That's the only spot where they have three players versus any other spot where they only have two, like one backup.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about the front court at all between Jefferson, Turner, Leaf, Sabonis, and Thad. That someone can play. Like, no one is – I guess Leaf's going to be kind of bad, but no one is, like, just awful in that group. And, you know, that was an interesting fake trade because I think with Oladipo, you don't want to be paying $35 million to shooting guards. But it was the idea is there that they might try to make a trade with Justice Winslow and maybe the Pacers can, you know, be their recipient, and Winslow would be the perfect guy to plug in for Robinson. So, who knows?
So the trade was Deion Waiters and Bogdanovich and Corey Joseph for Winslow and Waiters. So it's Bogdan, Joseph, and they might throw in something else to get Waiters and Winslow, which actually would kind of fit what the Pacers want to do a little bit.
Well, Winslow would, but Waiters is just like 60 or 50, I can't remember, million of just like yuck.
Yeah, but it's not that much per year, and they have a ton of cap space that I don't think there's huge worry, right? The only guy they're gonna have to really sign now that if Robinson is hurt long term is Turner, but they're gonna have like 60 million in cap space next year,
and now he's restricted, so it doesn't matter.
And it's hard to get big name free agents here anyway, so getting it, you know what I mean? I don't know if taking on a Waiters contract is that bad. If you brought on Winslow, he could play, he'd be kind of on the same timeline as everybody. It's just interesting to see because Robinson was kind of the thought that he would be the future small forward, and now that's kind of in doubt because we don't know when he comes back, if he can even recover from this injury. It's probably pretty bad ankle injury, which is never good for players. Anything around the feet is never good for an NBA player. So,
especially one that's so athletic.
Yeah, he especially thrives on his explosiveness and his athleticism to be able to, like, I mean, I'm sure his vertical is ridiculous. So, it's sad. Well,
can we talk about the other trade in that article? Because I thought that was like kind of realistic, to be honest.
Yeah. What was the other trade?
It was with the Lakers. So the idea is that the Lakers are trying to get that cap space next year. They need to get rid of Luol Deng, and they just want expiring contracts, basically. So the idea is that probably Bojan, because he is the least guaranteed between Bojan, Collison, and Jefferson, but like Bojan and maybe Collison too for Luol Deng and Brandon Ingram. And then, you know, so the Pacers get that young three in Ingram, and then they just eat Deng's salary in exchange for getting that really talented young player.
Yeah, but the thing was, why would that trade not have been available with Paul George? Like, that was what the trade people wanted, right, with Paul George?
Because that trade has even value because of how bad Deng's salary is and Paul George's positive value.
Yeah, but if you were the Pacers and the Lakers offered, you probably tried to get that deal, right? You probably tried to flip George for Ingram and Deng. You would have taken that in June instead of taking a little deep into bonus, right?
No, Deng's salary is abysmal. Think about like what you're saying right now is that Ingram and Deng have the same value or excuse me, that you're saying George has the same outgoing value as Bogdanovich and Collison if they would have offered that for George and they would have taken it. And that's not true. Like, obviously George has more value than them.
No, but I just mean the Lakers weren't willing to get rid of Ingram this summer. And if the Pacers could acquire Ingram, they were going to try to, because he was probably the best young available player. Like, he's better than Sabonis, he's better than Oladipo. Theoretically could be better. He's not better at this moment, but could be. And I just don't understand. I understand they're trying to get cap space, but it seems like Ingram would have to take a huge drop off to be traded for that, because they weren't willing to trade Ingram 3 months ago for Paul George straight up. So, and I'm sure if they attached Dang to a, they could have, there was a deal we made with Paul George for Dang and Ingram. That's an even salary trade. It was a trade to be made.
Right. But the Pacers wouldn't have done that because Dang's salary is.
So the Pacers would, you think the Pacers would have denied that trade for Ingram for a Paul George that they know is going to leave in a year to LA to get Ingram? I think they would have taken that trade.
I would have denied that. Little Dang's salary is awful.
So you would rather have Oladipo and Sabonis. So Oladipo's $21 million a year, Sabonis an unknown, versus Ingram, who's an unknown, but a potential was to be like Kevin Durant in a Dang contract, which is like, whatever, you're going to have a ton of cap space anyways.
Not if you have Dang. Take away 20 mil every year.
Yeah, but then if you have Dang, you probably, maybe you bring in Collins, but then you probably don't need to bring in Bogdanovich, and Robinson's getting hurt screws this up, but theoretically it would have been Robinson and then Dang as his backup.
Yeah, and then Brandon Ingram just rides the pine or what?
Yeah, I guess. I guess you're right. There's too small. It comes an issue there, right?
It's hard. I would not have done that. I would trade Bogdanovich and Collison for those two, but I would not have done Paul George for those two.
See, I just think with the way the Pacers, I still think having, you'd rather have Ingram over, would you rather have Ingram Oladipo and Sabonis? Just Ingram straight up?
Just Ingram over? Yeah, probably.
So that's why I'm not sure that adding the Dang contract was that. Like, there might have been a workaround where, like, you throw in an Al Jefferson, somebody the Pacers have expiring to, that could have eased the process a tiny bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because Dang, I mean, Dang's like a bottom five contract in the NBA. Like,
yeah, that is, but you eat that contract to get Brandon Ingram, who could be one of the next 10 best players. That's the, I don't know. if they pull off Ingram somehow this later this year, that would be incredible, because I just don't.
Oh, so great.
I don't see how that's possible. I mean, I guess the Lakers have to be certain they're going to sign LeBron and PG. Like, they have to be 100% no colluded, whatever, know for sure they are going to love those two guys, because that's the only way you get rid of a guy that young, that high of a pick, that much potential, is if you know you're nailing the number one player in the league. Plus,
that's what Zach Lowe said in his article. He's like, as soon as the Lakers trade away Ingram attached to Dang, you know they know they're getting those guys, because that's the only way they're doing
it. Which then you know there's colluding going on, because there's no way they can know for sure they're getting the guy, not them telling them. It's the kind of trade that would be very suspicious in the league office, how it was pulled off and stuff like that.
But it would be, but that's enough of our speculation, but we'll figure out. I'm sure they're going to, if they do sign a guy, it'll probably be before the first game. So be on the lookout for a signing on the wing in the next couple of days.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of signing, so the Pacers, well, before going into, we, according to the podcast, they said at 5 o'clock. So just 2 hours ago, they cut Jared Uthoff, which was actually, I didn't realize that until Tony came. We were talking about it this afternoon. So he was cut probably like about 1:30 this afternoon ish. Now they're back to 14 spots. But so basically the roster is the guys you would expect, plus they added Damian Wilkins is as like the 14th spot, and their two ways are Poitras and I'm blanking on the other guy's name.
Sumner,
that's right. Sumner. So those are the two-way contracts. So they have an extra roster spot. There's speculation to go after Gerald Green. They need a small four, theoretically, like we were saying earlier, to fit into those Robinson minutes that they know he for sure isn't going to play the first half of the season. So you were kind of iffy on who you thought they could go after, but you got any names now?
It's hard because of the timeline thing, like we were just talking about. You said Gerald Green, another guy, former Pacer Brandon Rush. He's okay on defense. He can shoot. He would fit in that second unit okay. There's not a lot of young guys. Maybe Anthony Morrow, he can really shoot, but he's kind of awful on defense. I don't know. It's really hard to tell, but I haven't really done any research to who else got waves too that could be a guy that could come in.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, like I said, I didn't really realize it until about an hour and a half ago that he got cut. So
yeah,
it's, and we don't know who lands what, right? I mean, they have more to cut players. We imagine, like you said, they're going to bring somebody in before the first game.
Or Richard Jefferson. I totally forgot about him. Holy cow.
Does he want to come here, though? Doesn't he have – he was a target – who was he being targeted by?
The Bucks.
The Bucks. And that's a better situation for him because they're going to be a playoff team.
It is. I'm sure the Pacers can offer more money, but, like, you're probably right. He doesn't really care about that at this point.
No, he doesn't care about money because he's been playing for the Cavs as, like, minimum, right, the past 3 or 4 years?
Well, he's probably only worth the minimum, but Yeah, I don't know. I would only imagine it's a two or a three. So I'll have to scour the market. I kind of took the weekend off from the NBA, so we'll see.
If you didn't know from the start, Tony had a very, very long weekend at the sister's wedding. It was fun, apparently, for him, but not a long weekend for a big family weekend. You know, on the rest of the roster, it's kind of how you thought it would go, clearly. It's basically what the toss-up spot was the Utah and Ben Moore. You know, once Robinson was hurt longer, the thought was Utah would just kind of be the guy because he was a small forward and not a power forward. So now it's just kind of up in the air who they take. Were you at all surprised by Damian Wilkins? I wasn't too surprised.
I was, but if you had told me in like August, I would have been surprised. No, but
just based on recently.
Yeah, given his preseason, yeah, it's the right move. He was pretty – I wrote about this week if you didn't see it. He actually was pretty good, like, everywhere in the preseason. He was over 40% from three. Like, he made all of his free throws. He actually looked okay on defense, had a nice couple of blocks. It's, like, all the things you want Damian Wilkins to do in, like, 5 to 10 minutes a game he'll actually play, he was doing. So, maybe he's fine. It was funny because I saw – Friday or Saturday – that the waivings happened of Moore, McKinney, Jones, and Jones. And I predicted it'd be Wilkins and Utah, which wasn't too hard, but still I was like, yes, I got it right. And then they waived Utah today and now I'm wrong. So who cares?
Yeah. You know what? I did miss your article. Cause you know what? You're actually, I teach people this on Thursday, but you're actually writing for a new site now.
Yeah. So
I'm going to tell you about that real quick.
I'm on Hoops Habit now. It's Fansided. It's just whole NBA affiliate. We have people covering every team now instead of just the Pacers, but it's cool. I'm one of the two Pacers guys there along with Adrian Lawhorn. He's a former sports statistician, really smart guy. So you should read his work too. But yeah, we're going to be writing about the Pacers for there. So check those out.
Yeah. So what are the thoughts about changing your profile picture though on this site?
Why? What's wrong with it?
No, I just, maybe you need something a little more professional now. Now that you're moving up, you're no longer 8. I mean, not the 8.6. I don't want to hate on them because they're a great site. I read it probably every day, but just like maybe put a little more professional, something in a tie or a LinkedIn profile pic kind of thing.
You know what? No, I don't.
Right.
I'm not going to bother myself with that.
I honestly forgot. I knew you were writing there because you told me. I just hadn't really, like, usually I just go on 8.6 and read you. So it was, I have to actually search for you some more, but that'll be fine. I'm sure people will enjoy what you're writing. How many times are you writing a week for them? Twice now?
Yeah, twice a week coming up for the whole season. I just started doing this is actually a great segue that we didn't even plan on doing. I actually just did a weekly preview, and I'm going to do one of those every week, just previewing the upcoming week for the Pacers. And hilariously, I think we're about to talk about that, aren't we?
Yeah, before we talk about the upcoming week, we are going to take a quick commercial break.
Oh.
So stay tuned. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
The presenting sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast is SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a great ticket buying site for sporting events and concerts. I have used it multiple times. I've told everybody I use it multiple times. I use it for Pacers, Colts, Reds, concerts, whatever. It's the only site I go to buy sporting tickets. If you use the promo code LOMBA, you can get a $20 discount off your first purchase. That was Tony coughing in the background. I don't know if you caught that. So Tony, have you used it? Are you going to use it again this week? Are you going to go to a game this week at all?
Yeah, I'm going to try to go to the Portland game on Friday. My thoughts I want to talk about for SeatGeek, I heard Nate Duncan say it on his podcast, and he really hit it well. We always talk about how you can save money using SeatGeek because you know you're getting the best deal with this code. Nate put it well too. Your most important resource, just like everyone else's, is time. And SeatGeek can also help you save time just because they make it so easy for you to do the ticket buying experience. So it's just really the best.
Yeah, I mean, mobile, it's so easy to do on your phone. I mean, the mobile, the app they have for it, or on your phone, you could buy it. Like I said before, I bought tickets like walking towards the stadium. Like I said, I'm going to go, I'm going to buy them at 6:50 to a 7 o'clock game. Like that's how easy it is. So I'm looking at tickets right now for Tony. You know, there's some good ones. I'm a big fan of sitting in the corner section, like the 2 and 19 sections. Like good. They're good priced. They're not on the upper deck. So you're like on the first floor, but they're not like, you know, sitting center court price. They're reasonably priced at times.
And they're even cheaper when you use the code LONBA at checkout.
Yep. And that is the end of the SeatGeek ad. And now back to the podcast. So we teased it a little bit before. We're going to do kind of a week breakdown the Pacers they have coming up for this week. Talk about the three games. You'll probably hear more in-depth discussion later this week when we do our daily podcast, obviously. So the Pacers open off their season Wednesday night. I don't know about you, but I'm super excited. They open off Wednesday night against Brooklyn at 7 o'clock. Then they play Friday at home again against the Trailblazers. Like Tony said in the ad, he's probably going to go to the game at 7. And then they travel Saturday to the Heat for their first back-to-back of the season. So let's just start with the Nets game. They should win this one, right?
They have that huge boost because it's the home opener. So I would say, yeah. I think overall talent roster wise, they're close. They're pretty close. But overall, yes, I would definitely say that I predict the Pacers will win the first game.
All right. Well, I'm going to probably go off on a rant later this week when I do my little update thing about the Nets. How I think the Nets are very over hype. Not that a sense that they're going to be a playoff team, but people are like, oh, they're going to win 25, 30 games. They're not going to be a bottom five team in the league. Like, what in has made this roster in over the past 4 years made anybody think this roster can either stay healthy enough to win 25 games or good enough to win 25 games?
I mean, I'll answer maybe 25, question.
But I'd say 30. What's made him healthy enough or good enough to win 30 games, except maybe adding Russell, who is completely an unknown still.
Well, they're playing like the modern style of basketball better than so many teams. Like everyone on their starting unit can shoot, and that's what's going to make them so dangerous that on just some nights where statistically like they're on the high end of their variable and they hit, you know, whatever, 60% of their threes and they just win because they shoot so well.
Yeah, but is that enough to think to win? I'd say 30 because 25 is probably reasonable because 25 is probably bottom five in the league now with the way teams have kind of stopped tanking. So is 30 wins possible for this team? Because I really don't think it's possible.
Well, let's see. Last season, they won 20. They got Russell, and they got probably a little better with the additions of Crabbe and Carroll and all those guys. And then variability just from shooting threes and general improvement from young guys. I think they could get 7 or 8 more wins. I don't know if they can get to 30, but 28 for sure.
So here's my thought, though. Carroll and Lynn haven't been healthy, right, over the past. Like, they've been on and off hurt, each missing – or I don't know how many Lynn missed last year out of my fantasy team. I dropped him to like the third week because he couldn't stay healthy. That's all I remember particularly about him. But those guys can't stay healthy. Russell, we just don't know, right? We think Russell could be the number two pick kind of guy, but what if he's not? I mean, he sort of flamed out in LA where he has blocking issues and whatnot. So then you're saying their team is going to win 25 games, let's say, on the back of Russell, Crabbe, and Mozgov. I just don't think they can do that. I don't think those players are that good.
Russell, Crabbe, Mozgov, Booker's good, LeVert's good, Dinwiddie's good, Jared Allen might be good, Tyler Zeller's okay.
Good is overrated. They're Alex like
Jefferson. I get why they're like overhyped. I totally agree with you there because they didn't make any additions that are like world beating, but just because they're a young team, they have a good coach, they'll just like naturally improve, and they've built their roster in a way that they'll just bomb away these threes. I think they'll be a 25 to 30 win team.
And I would say the only purpose I have for them maybe winning 30 games is because towards the end of the year, teams having incentive to tank or rest, and they have no incentive for any of that, right? Because they don't own their pick. That's the only way I seem to get 30 wins, really.
Is I don't, they have, yeah. I might be being too generous with 30, but I think they'll be like in that realm of the Pacers wins wise through a lot of the season.
But I am right in saying the first game the Pacers should beat them in the season because
absolutely
on paper, Pacers are a better team theoretically.
Yeah. So we should do this for our pod, and we should do this, or I do this when I'm writing, but. Who do you think the biggest Pacers X factor is, and who do you think the biggest Nets guy who has the best chance to have a big game is?
So I'm going to go X factor with the Pacers is clearly I think it's going to be Oladipo just because I think it's his first game. He showed a lot of energy and, you know, like willing to push the offense up in the preseason. Look, he's going to be kind of one of the centerpieces of the offense. And so I think he'll be the X factor just because it's his first game back in Indiana. Kind of we'll see if he gets through those jitters and whatnot. It's just a big moment for him because it's a new team, a new start and everything. I think he can kind of be the if he comes off playing a really good season, it kind of jumpstarts this team in a way that I think no other player could bring except maybe Turner.
Yeah, I like that, especially that it's his first game. When I talk about who I think the Nets guy will be, I'll pretty much say the same thing. But I picked Turner. You know, it's his first game as the face of the franchise, all eyes on him. And I think when you're being guarded by Timofey Mozgov, Tyler Zeller, or Jared Allen, he's going to do well. I think he's going to have every opportunity to eat that he could possibly want. So I picked Turner. I think he's going to lead the offense well and have easy matchups on defense that will allow him to conserve some energy for the offensive end. But I like the Oladipo pick as well. I was torn between those two.
Yeah, same. So who do you have as your X-factor on the Nets?
So what I've been calling it on Hoops Habit is the Pacers butcher, the most likely Pacers butcher. We can call it whatever we want.
Pretty good branding right there.
I called it I picked D'Angelo Russell. He's probably their best creator of offense in their starting lineup. Not their best scorer, but their best creator of offense. And when you're being guarded by Darren Collison, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to do well. Like Turner, he's in that first game with his new franchise. All eyes on him to do well. Collison was like the 400th or something best defender in box plus minus last year.
Are you sure Collison's going to guard him and not Oladipo? Because isn't Jeremy Lin the point guard and Russell the shooting guard?
Well, they'll probably put Depot on the better one, and Lin is in theory better with them. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was thinking that Russell's better than Lin. I don't know why.
Okay, well, either way, whichever one of those two guys Collison is guarding is my butcher.
That's fine. I wasn't trying to critique. I was thinking about it in my head, like, you're right, is Lin better than Russell? Theoretically, Lin is, but Lin hasn't been healthy. He's been on and off hurt, so how fast is he, and isn't Russell more explosive? that's what I was thinking of.
But I also picked Russell too because it was that first game for him with the
Knicks. Yeah. No, I understand. I understand why you picked him. I'm going to go with actually Alan Crabb just because I think it's his first game as kind of maybe the good player on a bad team kind of thing. Good stats, bad team kind of guy. He has a good potential.
Yeah, that's true. He's going to bomb so many threes.
Yep. And he's going to be guarded by Bogdanovich, who's not that great. So he's going to be able to kind of make some plays probably against him. And he's going to shoot a ton of threes. He's going to get a lot of shots. I mean, he's right. Depending where Russell ends up, Crabb might be the best, you know, at least points wise on this team because he might stay the healthiest all year.
Yeah, that's true. During the season, when we do these previews, guys, we'll probably talk about like the keys to the game for the Pacers. But because we haven't actually seen any of these teams play yet, we don't know what they are, what the keys are going to be to beat them. My guess against the Nets would be keep them off the 3-point line just because of their preseason, but it's impossible to say because we haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, and especially as the season's going on, when we do we're doing the podcast basically every day. We'll try to do one every day. If we do four times a week, we're sorry about that. We get only four times. But so we'll go on the kind of this anchor pod we're doing on Mondays. We'll kind of do like a more abbreviated preview, and then we'll do a really in-depth one kind of as the game, the day before the game probably.
Yep, exactly. And the one-on-ones might be about one of the games that week and really in-depth. But you want to talk about the Trailblazers game a little bit?
Yeah, so this is the game where – CJ McCollum, so I have him on fantasy. There's a line between my fantasy basketball playing and my knowledge of basketball. Not that I don't watch basketball a lot, but like I particularly watch the players I have on fantasy more than any other team just because they're on my team. So I have him on fantasy team and he got suspended the first game. So now this is the season opener basically against the Pacers.
Yeah. So when I wrote my article, I put the most likely butcher was Lillard for the pretty much the same reason I chose Russell and that the point guard's going to struggle. But with McCollum having this chip on his shoulder, man, maybe I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, either one of them, whoever basically is being guarded by Collison, whether it's
same thing, same thing
we're going to say. I mean, it's hard right now. Like, we haven't seen them play this season. We haven't seen any of the teams play, so we don't know how they're going to play defense. You know, I think actually that Portland game might be a good start to maybe try to play Oladipo and Stevenson at the one and the two just to try it out for a little bit because – those two guys are lethal on offense, and they're going to just shred this Pacer team.
So last year against the Pacers, Lillard had 61 points in two games and was a plus 25. he tears them up.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing they have going for them is maybe because they have to travel. They play at home. They play at the Suns, so they travel cross-country on Friday. Not cross-country, but like a good four-hour flight from here to Phoenix. So maybe they're a little tired, but they're NBA players. These guys are used to playing like that, and Pacers don't have a very good defensive team, so I'm imagining they're going to have a lot of points on them.
Yeah, this one's going to be that'll be a fun one. I think that'll just be a very exciting game, especially if the Pacers win and they're looking like they could go 2-0 at home to start the year. Who's your Pacers X factor?
You know, in that game, I think it's going to be Turner, just because I think he's going to have to protect the rim more than usual from the Lillard and McCollum drives.
I think a lot of games you could pick Turner or Depot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to like it's the first week, so it's hard to see because, I mean, what Magic's players are going to exploit, what players fit well, and what lineups, like, what could happen. But I guess, actually, you know what? Maybe I'm going to change it real quick and say Stevenson because I think Stevenson could get a lot of minutes at the two or one. You have to guard McCollum or Lillard for a significant amount of time. So maybe Stevenson will be the X factor because he's going to have to really step up his defensive prowess.
That's a good one. I thought about picking Corey Joseph because they might play him more for that guard defense, like you just said. I actually chose Thaddeus Young, and it requires an explanation, but You still don't know who's going to be starting at the four for Portland. My guess is it's Aminu, but it could be Vonleh because they were pretty good with Vonleh at the end of the year last year. And all that confusion could lead to some, you know, nice holes for Thaddeus Young against whatever four is in, especially too because Thaddeus Young is kind of like that caretaker guy. You know what you're getting from every game. And last year, the Blazers were 16th in turnovers, and they were close to last at 25th in steals. So I think Thad's going to be able to keep the ball in the Pacers' hands a lot.
Yeah, and we don't need to say it. We already kind of set our X factors for Portland. It's either Lillard or McCollum, right? We don't mean to say one specifically. It's probably one of those two guys.
Yeah, they're gonna score a lot of points. It's gonna be scary.
Yeah, but you know, if you're going to the game, it'll be fun to watch them score. I mean, it's fun to watch.
I know that's why players. I picked that one over the Nets game because it's too expensive to go to the opener, and I can watch an awesome Portland team.
Yeah, plus you know, as much you know, NBA is sometimes about watching the other players. As much as you want to cheer for your hometown team, it's about seeing the best players. Like. The Warriors games used to always sell out because people want to watch Steph Curry, LeBron, people want to go watch LeBron. Like, you just want to watch the best players in this league. So, especially it'll be fun if the Pacers do step up. Like, you see Oladipo stepping into playing on, like, a level with McCollum, and then you'll think, oh, Oladipo might be really good. So,
yeah, that'll be an awesome one. I would recommend watching that one on your Friday night.
Yeah, I will probably watch it. I like watching. I'll probably watch it before I do stuff that night. It's a 7 o'clock game, so yeah. Don't need to do stuff till 9 or 10 that night. Let's move on to Saturday. The last.
In Miami, road back-to-back, chances of loss over 95% or under 95%?
So, right, they're going to be going 110% each night because they're going to lose. I was thinking like maybe they did take the Portland game off and then they try against Miami because they can actually win Miami maybe. But you're probably right. Second home game going 110%. Yeah, they probably lose. I mean
– well, in the Heat, though, the Heat, that's their second game. They play Wednesday and then Saturday. They're going to be so fresh.
Is it the Heat's first home game, though?
It I don't know. There are other games against the Magic, so either way, they're staying in the same state.
Heat season opener, or home opener for the season. So
yeah, that's going to be a rough one.
Yeah, so who do you have as your Heat X Factor?
My Heat X Factor? Whiteside, 100%. Last year, Pacers, 26th in total team rebounding. Hassan Whiteside was third in the league in rebounds and had 1,000. Here's a crazy stat. Against the Pacers last year, Whiteside in three games had 60 rebounds. 20 a game.
I remember watching the Heat game. I don't think I've been more frustrated watching a Pacer game last season than watching those Heat games because the Heat I thought were pretty like not a good team and the Pacers just struggled consistently. Paul George like couldn't get past Whiteside when he blocked him a bunch of times. Like I was extremely frustrated watching the Heat Pacer games last year.
They're the kryptonite for the Pacers because, or to me at least, because my X factor, which I won't tell you completely about it, but like. The Heat are so deep and Whiteside gets so many boards that like the Pacers just don't have the ball ever. And the Heat have the ball so much that like they have so many people that can score that it's so hard for them.
Yeah, no, the Heat are on paper a really good team because they have lots of like top players at their positions, but I don't know if they can put it together. That's always been that was the thing last year with them. They couldn't really they had going on, they had Whiteside because they didn't have Bosch, but they had like two players who are considered probably top 10-15 in their positions. And they couldn't really put it together enough to win enough games.
Well, like their guys who were good would play to their highest level, but not all at the same time. Like Dragic killed it in the second half, and then Waiters killed it in the middle of the year, and Whiteside was killing it at the beginning, but they never lined up. You know?
Yeah. But this is probably the hottest team in basketball if you take from last season because they finished the season like they won 30 of the last 40 games. So we'll see if they can continue that sort of hot streak. For my X factor, I actually had Dion Waiters.
It's a good one.
Just because it'll be interesting to see Dion Waiters go up against Victor Oladipo. They're two more similar players than you would think just because the way they play, the energy they play with. Dion's a little more selfish. Getting him, he's a Syracuse guy, so I don't want to hate on him too much. but he's a little more selfish than Oladipo, I think. But there's the similar type of players. They're similar size. They kind of have some of the same strengths where they're not great three-point shooters, but they're okay, and they're good drive to the rim kind of guys and make athletic plays. So, I think it'd be interesting to see that kind of matchup go one-on-one because I think Oladipo will be guarding him instead of Dragic just because I don't think Collison has any shot of guarding Dion Waiters if he even try to put him on him. Man. This is going to be a theme all season. Is it? We really might have to get rid of Collison at the point guard if he can't guard anybody.
Literally every game you could say that other team's X factor is whoever their starting point guard is.
or small forward, basically. Small
forward, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be.
They don't play any dominant small forwards in the first week, thankfully.
Yeah, thank God they don't. I haven't looked too much. I mean, I'm looked farther into their schedule yet, so I don't know who they play. But they put Giannis
week two. Yeah.
Week two. So never mind. Well,
we're both gonna pick him. I guarantee it.
Yeah. So, what else about the Heat? You got anything else on the Heat?
Well, my Pacers X factor wasn't one player, so I picked the entire bench. So it's weird to say, but Miami, like I just said, is like an odd team in that they have those guys who don't play up to their strengths. They don't really have any all-stars, but they don't have anyone who's bad. They have a ton of talented guys. They're a really deep team. So I know that the Pacers starters can kind of hang with, or at least I think they can hang with most teams, especially this Miami team. But now here comes the bench with like TJ Leaf and Wilkins in, and then the Heat are rolling out like Justice Winslow, Kelly Olynyk, Tyler Johnson, all these guys. Like that's going to be where the Pacers have to, if they can hold up against the bench, they might have a chance, but it's going to be hard.
So do you think this Miami team is like actually decently deep?
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah.
Just compared to last season for sure.
Yeah.
They're one of the more unique constructed teams, I think, in the league, just because they're not no like star. They tried to get Hayward and didn't get him, but they have like good players, like above, you know, C+ to B+ players kind of thing.
The worst player that might actually play in the rotations, like Okoro White, who's pretty good backup point guard. Maybe that Bam guy, but he'll barely ever play at backup center. Like they're good.
They're not like the Pacers, who have a kind of a weak back end.
Exactly. So that's why I picked the bench. If I had to pick a specific player, man, I have no idea. Bojan hits his threes and they have to sub in maybe Justice Winslow, and they wanted maybe Bojan, but I don't know. I'd still just say if the bench unit can't keep up, which I don't think they will be able to, that's the whole game.
So I'm going to go with take Sabonis for one reason only. One is the back-to-back, so he's going to have to play a lot. He's going to probably play more minutes because the guy's going to be tired, right? So Sabonis will get maybe he could get 20 to 25 minutes. And he'll be playing – if he plays backup center, he'll have to be able to shoot that three so he can drag Whiteside out of the paint.
Yep.
That'll be interesting to see.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Just because that's what I think – I mean, I was going to say Leaf, but Leaf probably won't play center, but Sabonis might. If Sabonis plays center, he's going to need to – because if Whiteside's sitting in that paint the entire game, Pacers are screwed. Because Collison's not scoring, and either is Oladipo.
Yeah, it's tough. This is the matchup, where TJ Leaf is screwed. Kelly Olynyk is like the anti-TJ Leaf, right? He's good on defense literally everywhere on the court, and yet he can shoot and bang in the post, so Leaf can't guard him. Like, that's scary.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about it, I'm not sure Leaf's even going to play. I have a really strange feeling they're going to play Sabonis the 4 and Jefferson at the 5 to go.
Yeah, I agree.
The best thing to do when you're a bad team is try to go toe-to-toe with the team's best strength and not try to take it away. Like, I'm sure McMillan won't decide to try to counter it with something weird, but we'll try to just match it, which is not the best way to take it.
Well, anyway, and Jefferson might play too because it's a back-to-back and they just need to sit guys a little more.
Yeah, but putting Jefferson, they're just going to screw them on offense. I mean, it's going to clog up defense. It's clog up the lanes on offense because they're not going to be able to get to the rim, and it's going to screw things up on defense because Whiteside's going to just destroy them because Whiteside is an athletic freak.
We'll find out. That's going to be interesting. But yeah, Whiteside on the glass last year killed him so bad that I expect him to have a great game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should be talking about Turner just because Turner is going to have to – this is going to be his first matchup, right, against one of the better centers in the league as
– Yeah.
Right? This is the best center.
Nurkic is fine for Portland, but no, the Nets don't have a good
center. Yeah, I mean, Nurkic is good, but he's still young. I just mean a guy who's established who's like – Whiteside's probably considered top five center in the league. I don't really know where he probably falls between 5 and 7 somewhere. Yep. I haven't really made a list in my head yet of that, of centers, because it's kind of a dwindling position and it's constantly changing. But this will be the best one I'll face. So, and it's a hard one for him because he'll have to use his athleticism on the perimeter to beat Whiteside instead of kind of using his size and height.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. He might have to prove he can rebound. That Cavs preseason game, I think Turner had one rebound. That's bad. We cannot have that in a full game. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, preseason, man. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters because it's all we've seen, but it's in a week from now, we won't be talking about it. So
you're right.
Because we'll see some basketball. So you got anything else? I think that's all we had on our to-do list on our podcast to check off.
No, I'm going to be reviewing the week on Saturday for Hoops Habit. But other than that, I got nothing else I want to say today.
All right, you got anything else? So what else are you writing this week? You said the review. Anything else coming out?
I have all summer been writing this weird thing called I Believe in the Knicks on a Medium account for fun. Not this year, but in the future. I kind of like what they did. So if you want to read a like super, super, super long thing about why I think the Knicks will be good in a few years, you can read that. But I might not even post it anywhere.
Send that to me, actually. I want to read it because I have a couple of Knicks friends here at school who might want to read it. They'll want to read it because it'll give them hope.
Yeah, they need it. They need it. They're going to suck this year, but that's unrelated.
Yeah, I think this week I'm going to have an article coming out probably on Thursday, just after the first game, some thoughts, and depending on what the storyline of the game was. Yeah, like we said, there'll be probably a podcast every day this week. Tony has a guest. I don't know if he wants to say it, who the guest is going to be. He was telling me to keep it on wrap, so he might tease it on Twitter instead.
Yeah, I might. Also, I want to do this. I should have said this earlier. We're going to do this every week, Adam. We're going to have a contest on here. We're going to predict the Pacers' record during the week, and whoever gets closer wins, and whoever wins more at the end of the year wins.
All right, what do you want to bet? Something easy. I'm a very poor kid.
Nah, I don't know if we'll do money. We'll bet pride and fun for the fans.
We should think of something. If you told me we'd do this before, I would have tried to think of something. So I love the idea. I love the idea. Okay. So I'll think of something, and we can talk about it next week. So give me your prediction for the week.
I'm going 1-2. I think they beat the Nets and lose the other two.
Oh, man, I want to follow that. That's kind of what I want to say.
Well, if we tie, it's fine.
So you want to do it game by game, two each week? So, we'll do whoever. So I think they'll win the Nets, lose the Trailblazers, lose the Heat.
Okay, if we do that, we have to do their total spread amongst all three games, and whoever's closer wins.
Okay, so point spread, you mean? Whoever gets closer?
Yeah. So I'm just going to estimate they beat the Nets by eight and then lose to Portland by five and then lose to the Heat by 15. So I'll say they're minus 12. I don't know if I did that math right just now, but I'll say they're minus 12 this week and go 1-2.
Yeah, I'll listen to that and write it down. I'll listen to the ending of the podcast when we finish up to write down. I have them beating the Nets by 10, lose to the Trailblazers by 15, and lose to the Heat by, I want to say, 12. So I get to minus 17 on the week.
All right. I'm at minus 12. You're at minus 17. So, all right. There we go.
So as you haven't caught on, we're not very optimistic here. if I kind of want to take him to beat the Heat, but I don't. And the back-to-backs will hurt me. If it wasn't a back-to-back, I might say they could go totally to the Heat, but the back-to-back is just going to
hurt. If McCollum didn't have the suspension, I might say they could beat Portland, but I think he's going to have this huge chip on his shoulder, and they're finally have their full strength team, and they're going to look great. So,
yeah, I mean, this first week there's an already scheduled loss, which is just kind of stinks because
just sucks. I hate that. I hate that so much.
So they play a back to back every week for the first 3 weeks. It's kind of ridiculous.
And this one's a road one. I get.
Yeah, I mean they do it next week against back to back roads. They go Thunder or Wolves and Thunder, and then they go back to back with Kings and Cavs. Like, they're not getting any. It's weird. I thought they got rid of all the back to backs, but now I'm looking just on the first 15 games and I see four back to backs already. So,
all right. Well, this
is that's it.
And we have a bet now, which is fun.
Yep. So, tune in to the rest of the week. Listen to more Locked On Pacers podcast. I don't have the schedule up with me. So, I believe right now it's Tony's going to be doing one Tuesday, me Wednesday, Tony again on. Well, actually, Wednesday, we're going to do a live one after the game together. Then Tony again on Thursday, and then me on Friday is the plan right now. As always, you can go follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. You can follow Tony at TEastNBA. You can follow me at FriedmanAdam5.
We're at Locked On Pacers.
Yes, I think I said it at the start, didn't I?
I might have missed that.
But anyways, like I said, if you have any comments or anything, tweet at us. That also works. If you have any suggestions for the show, comments on the show, whatever, we'll respond to you. We love talking to people that listen to the show. We like to figure out who listens to our show. So that's great. If you want to talk to us, we'll talk to you back about Pacers and all kinds of stuff. That's it. That's all I've got. So have a great rest of your Monday day or whenever you listen to this. And this has been the Locked On Pacers podcast.